Okay, so today we're going to talk about Moshe, Yisro, and the lonely men of faith. So we're going to read some midrashim and how Chazal try to portray the story. We'll see why. Sometimes when Chazal create some kind of story, they're using the text as a springboard, and sometimes there might be textual reason why they interpret the story a certain way. So we'll read, and you can be the boss to decide if you think they're being faithful to the text or if they're being a little they're stretching a little. So in Perek Beis Pasuk Tezvav, so we fight after Moshe kills the Egyptian. So the pasuk says, "Vayishma Paro sadavar zeh v'yavakish harugas Moshe." Paro hears that Moshe killed an Egyptian. He wants to kill Moshe. "Vayivrak Moshe b'tei Paro." Moshe fled from Paro. "Vayishav Eretz Midyan v'yishav alber." So he lives. He dwells in Eretz Midyan, and he's by a well. It's like the well's like the single seed.
Yeah.
It's a single scene in the biblical times. But
the old
water cooler. Yeah, the old water cooler. So they all meet their wives there. V'l'choy Midyan sheva bados, and so the Kohen and the priest of Midyan had seven daughters. V'atavoda, v'atidlena, v'atmalas harhadim, and they fill up the troughs lashkol sotaviyam to give water to the sheep of their fathers. V'yavo haroim v'yigarshum, so the shepherds come and they chase them away. V'yakam Moshe arose v'yoshiyam, and he saved the damsels in distress from these evil shepherds. I mean, we have to try to figure out why are the shepherds doing this? But anyway, Moshe saves the day. V'yashka sonam, he gave their flock to drink. V'tavoda Ruel avihem, they came to Ruel, their father. He's another more famous name, Yisro. But he said, "Madu meir hatem boyom? Why did you come so quickly today?" So apparently, this was. He says, "Why did you come so quickly today?" So apparently, this was a
daily
occurrence, right? So vatomarna, and they said, "Ish mitzri, hitzilanu miyad harvoiv, an Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. Gam delo delanu, and he helped us give water to the." To the sheep, he filled up the water. But Yashkin Satsoni, he helped give the sheep water. V'yomer Abanos, okay, and eventually he gives right. He says, "Where's this guy? Why'd you leave him? Bring him here." And he gives Zipporah's daughter to Moshe. So there are two pieces here that I want to focus on. One a little bit, and one a little more. I'm going to just spend a minute or two, and then one I want to spend a little more time. The first thing is when the daughters come back and they say an Egyptian came to save us. How do they know that he was an Egyptian?
His garb, probably, right?
Right, so probably his garb, right? So that's probably the simple understanding. So the Midrash and Shmos Rabbah says, "But Tamarni ish mitzvi tilaru v'chim mitzvi ha'yamosha," was Moshe an Egyptian? El levusha mitzvi v'hu ivri, right? He was wearing Egyptian garb, makes sense. Davar achar, now this is like a really peculiar midrash, I think. Ish mitzri, masha le'achad shenashacho ha'arod. So there's a story about someone who was bitten by a snake. V'haya rotz la'seis raglav l'toch habayim. And he runs to put his foot into the water. V'ra'at tinok echad she'ashokei b'mayim. And he sees a baby who was drowning in the water. V'shalach yado, and he stretched forth his head. V'hel osodi, and he saved the baby. Okay, so you understand what happened? So there was this,
just pass all the candy down. Got a lot of variety here. Okay,
so we have this person, right? The snake bit him. He runs, he feels bitten by the snake, so he runs into the water. And then, when he goes into the water, he sees there's a baby, and he saves the baby. So what does he say? So Amar lo oso tinok. The baby said, "Ulule at hayisimes. If not for you, I would have died."
The baby says it.
I mean, the little child. Amar lo, says the man, "Lo anihi tzalticha. I didn't really save you." Ella also harod shedeshachani. But you know who saved you? The snake saved you. Who bit me saved you. Vinidakti medalamayim. Because the snake bit me, I ran to the water. Who itzilcha? The snake really saved you. Kach amru benos Yisrael Moshe. So the daughters of Yisrael said to Moshe, Yashako chacha. See, they're obviously, by the way, the daughters of Yisrael were Ashkenazi. Because it said, Yashako chacha. If they were Sfari, they would have told what? Chazaku baruch. So obviously they were Ashkenaz. So the daughters of Yisrael said to Moshe, Yashako chacha shehi tzaltanu miyana roim. Yeah, thank you for saving us from the shepherds. Amar lahem Moshe. Moshe said to them, Also hamitzi sharat hu itzilchem. That Egyptian that I killed, he saved you. That's why it says Ish Mitzri in Egyptian. Migaram Lazash Yavo Itzlainu Ish Mitzri Sharak. It's like wild. It's like a wild midrash. So I can, it's basically saying that who saved you? Oh yeah, the Egyptian
that
Moshe killed would force him to leave. That.
So at this point, Yisro only knows that he's a murderer, and
okay,
he gives his daughter to him.
Okay, this midrash seems absurd on the surface, right? I mean, would you think it if a snake? Would you think the snake? You know, do you think the murderer? Like Moshe's. So how do we understand this midrash? I mean, you were saying really thank the Egyptian, like. What is Moshe really saying here? Like, do we really?
You got to tie it back to the source, which is, you know, Hashem put the situation in motion so that
end up here. Right. In other words, probably what's going on here is that Moshe is probably thinking to himself, you know, why is this happening to me? Sometimes, right, things happen to us and we wonder, why did this happen to me? Why am I put in this situation? Right? And again, it's very hard for me to interpret this literally because it seems absurd to me,
can't
in my opinion. What?
Can't be
literal. No, but I'm saying, but even to explain this, I'm saying like, yeah, it's very, it seems absurd that we thank the Egyptian for doing this. But I think to Aaron's point, I think that Moshe is like wondering to himself, I grew up in the house of Paro, I did the right thing, and look what happened, I'm sent away. So maybe Hashem sent me away. Why? So I should do this act of chesed at this point. This is like before the burning bush, before Moshe is charged to be the leader of God, the leader of God's people to take them out of Egypt. Moshe is probably saying to himself, well, probably I'm meant to do good in this place. This is where I'm meant to be. You know, he ties it back to this, and this is part of the plan, and he sort of accepts it. Okay? So again, it's not resignation, and I would say it's purposeful acceptance. Moshe understands himself as a man of mission, a man to do chesed to these young women, right? But what's interesting is that I believe, that maybe we're going to see even more. Like, this is what Moshe thinks it is, but we see there's more, I don't know if the word hashkacha pratis, or there's a deeper understanding. Moshe thinks he understands the purpose, but maybe Chazal, we're going to see, and we're going to look at two other midrashim, where I think Chazal point to a deeper connection, at least how to understand the story. So, yeah, so I think this is a bit of a stretch. I mean, the simple understanding is what you said, Noah, like Ish Mitzri, he's dressed as an Egyptian, but here maybe Chazal are like pointed to maybe Moshe's acceptance of the situation, maybe. If you just read this story, okay, so Kohen, right, the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they're filling up the troughs to give water to feed the sheep of their fathers. The shepherds are coming, they drive the girls away, and then Moshe comes and he saves them. Do you have anything bother you about the story? Like, any questions that you might have that seem unusual about the story here? Anything striking about this story?
This happens every day. Why are they keep putting themselves in this situation?
Right. Why? Okay. Like,
it's
why?
The only well in town.
Right. Right. It's the only well in town. Okay. Like, well, yeah. Why is it happening like every day? You know. Again, if you think about it, not from a 21st century perspective. Well, the truth is, you got shepherd. You got these daughters. Like, you think he's the Kohen Midian. He's the priest of Midian.
They have some protection.
Don't you think he has I don't know, or servants, right? People to do the work for. Why is he using his daughters to do that? You know, why mention why the other shepherds repeatedly harass them? I'm also wondering, like, you know, is Moshe, you know, at this point, you know, is Moshe, well, we don't know exactly. Does Moshe believe in God? Is he an idolater? Right, it's in like you kind of Moshe. Who is he specifically marry? The daughter of the
priest.
The priest. Like he doesn't just marry like a random daughter of a random non-Jew. He marries like the daughter of the frummest idolater in town. Oh, like a question. We can see that you know. Okay.
And he was a fugitive. His prospects were limited.
Who's from Moshe?
Moshe.
Okay. So, yeah, but we say his processes are limited. He Bedafka though marries, it seems like the most eligible. Right. Like, I don't know. You know, do the rabbis' kids have unlimited shidduchim? I don't know.
Hello.
Okay,
also the only one that made an offer.
Okay, maybe. Well, it just started. But like, is Moshe? Okay. It's interesting. So the Malbim. Yeah, I just brought you the Malbim because the Malbim says Haroim Asu Hitkatshut Bedeham Kamosha Su Roi Charad Shelo Yashku Atzod Ashem Yis Asu Kol Darim Ki. The shepherds made a deal among them, and they said that we're not going to feed the sheep until all the shepherds come together. Why Ki Hayu Hamayim Biyoker? Guess there wasn't a lot of water. They were very very expensive. They didn't want these young girls should feed their shepherds first, their sheep first before the other shepherds. I'm the Moshe Ra Shadimahamibne Arba Tami. Moshe thought that no, that they had the right to water their sheep first, to give their sheep to drink first for four reasons. She'd katshut shasu aroy benem enuchal al yisro shakoin midyan. She'd kat kunotel notel chelik barosh. He's got privileges because he's clergy, so he has first rights. Okay. And then he says, "Shahayu sheva baros b'tzachem nekevos ein roy shemtinu al rem neatznius." It's not proper. It's not modest for the girls to wait around. They should give them first rights. And gimel mitzad etzem ainyan shikvar bo udlu v'atmaletas haratim v'ayumam shelhem. What there's a well and there's a trough. So what does it say? The daughters already took the water out of the well. Did the hard work and filled the trough, and then the shepherds wanted to shoo them away. So they already did the hard work. They should be allowed to have the water. And the fourth reason is Sheit Katshut Eino Chal Rak Al Roim She Roim Tzon Shel Achirim Avahim Bo Lashkod Tzon Aviyah Veinim Bechlal Haroim. So I don't know. The Malbim wants to say that maybe the deal was only for other people's. If like you know, you have a shepherd who's like watching other people's sheep, but if it's personal use. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Okay, so that's the Malbim wants to say. I found it. I thought that was an interesting position, but the Rashi has a different take. Rashi says, "Ulakoin midyan Rav Shebahen. He was the leader. Uperash lo meavodah zara v'didu meatzlo." So Rashi has some interesting position. He says, "Well, Yisro is actually Rabbi Emeritus or Kohen Emeritus." He was this priest, and then he went off the derech, meaning, I guess, he went on the derech. He basically said, I don't believe in this avodah zarah anymore, and he, as the Rashi says, okay? His question is, where does he get this from, right? Like, where does he get this from? So he's basing this on this midrash, Shmos Rabbah. Midrash says, L'koy midyon sheva bados, okay, so he had seven daughters. V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei Avodah Zarah. Wait, doesn't God hate Avodah Zarah? V'nasan Manos L'Moshe Eitzel Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why is God going to have Moshe, you know, hang out with an idolater? Amar Rav Hasenai Yisro Koma L'Avodah Zarah Haya. So again, so first Chazal is bothered by the fact that God would see to it that Moshe should, specifically, you know, end up with an idolater. But Chazal say Yisro was a Koma L'Avodah Zarah Haya. He was a priest for Avodah Zarah. Roshim Bomamish, and he saw it was not significant. There's nothing to this Avodah Zarah. Bisar Levi Hero, Lasos Chuva, Wantu Chuva, Achla Bomosha, before Moshe came. Vikara Livnei Iro Varalhav, and he called out to the people of his town, and he said to them, Until now, I was serving you. I was your priest. I'm an old guy. Choose someone else. Right? He decided to retire before the community told him to retire. Very important lesson for clergy. Okay, you got to go before they want you out. So he gave up his Avodah Zarah stuff. And he gave it to them. Amdu v'niduhu. So they were upset. I guess they caught wind of this, that he didn't believe anymore. They excommunicated him. Shalizdakik lo adam. No one would basically help him out. V'lo yosu lo malacha. No one would do any work for him. V'lo yiru etzonon. They wouldn't shepherd a sheep. Ubigish min aroim liros lo etzonon v'lo kiblo. He asked the shepherds to take care of his sheep. They didn't want to. Ufich hotzi espino. So that's why he used his daughters. In other words, the Midrash is bothered by the fact that it would seem strange, even though we do have some biblical situations of Rivka coming with the sheep and we have Rachel coming with the sheep, but the Midrash thinks it's strange that such a high-level priest would have his daughters do this. Okay, so therefore...
It would also explain why they're getting harassed every day.
Correct. Exactly. So he has this whole... So we're creating, Chazal creating this whole story. And as he's answering, it answers a bunch of questions. Why would Moshe marry the daughter of an idolater? And why would... It's very creative. But it's a very creative opinion that can answer why he's marrying this daughter of an idolater and why are they harassing? Why is Yisrael not having his own people, his shepherd? So he creates this whole scenario saying this is probably what happened. The Gur Aryeh... The Gur Aryeh points out, says Rav Shebahen, this is Gur Aryeh is like a commentary, it's a moral, he's like a super commentary on Rashi. And he cites the Shmos Rabbah. And he says, Bishmos Rabbah Mochiach Zesham Sheperish Mavazara, they separate from Mavazara. Dim Lokain, Echa Yoroi, Megarshim, Esmenosov, Shikol Midyan. If not, how could these shepherds, why were these shepherds, you know, drive away the daughters? Of the Kohen Midyan, of the priest of Midyan, Dein Lamar Lishilifamim Risham Mitpartzim Badoneim. Can't be that these wicked people are, you know, engaging bad, doing bad things to their masters, right? So the fact that he said, I think he pointed out that Ish Mitzri, they said Ish Mitzri Tzelam Yad Haroim, means that they're always doing this, right? That they're an Ish Mitzri saved us. Why have they saved us? Means like they would harass him constantly, and he said the same thing. And derech kohen midyan lishloch benos av matzon. It's not the way of a priest of Midyan to send his daughters with the sheep. So therefore, he creates this whole story. Anyway, that is one story, right? Yisro, Chazal portray Yisro as a man who undergoes this revolution of spiritual, a religious revolution here, basically a spiritual revolution. What's interesting is there's another midrash. And it also questions where Chazal gets this from also. And earlier, in the beginning of the parsha, it says, Vayitza paro l'chol amo. So paro commanded to all his people. What do you command? All the boys, hayor tashchu, throw them all in. Throw the boys into the Nar River. V'loma God's gzera zu. Why did he make this gzera? Right? Turn the page. Ki yomru aleichem. Dir shil ovo, so you don't even... Hamitzafim v'hamegim. The pasuk in Yeshaya talks about that the ovos and the yidonim. These are like what are these? These are like these magicians or these sorcerers who like talk, who see and who talk. Tzofim en yodim mahim tzofim. They see, but they don't really know what they're seeing. Magim yodim mahim magim, and they're talking. They don't really know what they're talking about. So what did they see? Rosh Hashim, so you'll look at my right. They saw that the savior of the Hebrews would be punished in water. Amdu v'gazu kol ben hayilod or tashichul. So they said, okay, we'll throw every boy into the river. So good, but thank God we'll throw out the we'll kill the baby boy of the Hebrew, because that's what's going to happen to him. But lo v'yadu dal memriu huloka. But they didn't realize that no, when their sorcerer, their astrologers thought that the savior of the Messiah of the Hebrews would die by the water, it was referred to when he hit the rock and not by the Nile River, right? So, in any case, the Midrash continues, and it's actually also Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he said, there were Shlosha Hayubosa Eitza, there were three people who had this idea, Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. So Yisroel was one of the advisors. Now, the okay. So there's a question: how you know each one? Like, what's the textual evidence for each one? I'm going to focus on Yisroel. So it says here, Bilam, what happened to him? That he advised that they should be killed. Nerag, he was killed. Eov, who was silent, he suffered. Yisroel, who fled, Zachu Banav Leishiv Lishlitzka Gazis. So he, Yisroel, who fled, so his children, his descendants, got to sit in the Sanhedrin. So the question is, what's the basis for this? As Gemara Sanhedrin, Gemara Sota says this. It's based on this pasuk. It says, "Rav Elazar might receive kiba davar sherzadu aleihem." So in Parshas Yisro, Yisro tells Moshe. He says the very last source. He says, "Baruch Hashem asher hitzil uscha miyam mitzrayim miyam paro asher hitzil uscha mitachas yad mitzrayim." Okay, bless God that He saved you from the Egyptians, from Paro. He saved the people. I tell you that now I know. Ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim, that God is greater than everyone, than every other power. I probably should not put the dash there. It's probably Elohim. Ki badavar asher zedu aleichem, because of the matter that they planned upon them. So I think the Gemara and the Midrash get it from this line, that Yisro knew about their plans. Okay, so Yisro knew about their plans. So what's he doing in Midian? Presumably what happened? He ran away. Okay? So what's interesting is that Chazal portray Yisro as someone who undergoes two costly revolutions of consciousness. So what's the difference between the Paro story and the Midian story? What two different types of revolutions of consciousness? So the Moshe, what's the Paro one? What kind of, like, that's
political?
I would say it's a moral revolution of consciousness, and the Kohen Midyan, according to Chazal, it's a religious revolution of consciousness, right? So fascinating, right? And we think about the Exodus from Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it was a moral revolution of consciousness and also a religious revolution of consciousness, right? It might have been both. So Yisro himself, according to Chazal, the man who's going to marry his daughter to the leader who's gonna initiate this revolution, this dual revolution. He himself, according to Chazal, went through this, right? And what's fascinating now if we think about this now, when Moshe arrives in Midian as a fugitive, right? He's driven out because he can no longer tolerate injustice. And he thinks, according to that Midrash, the first Midrash that we saw, he thinks he's coming. Why? Ah, the Egyptians saved me. What does that mean? Oh, no, I know God's plan. God's plan was for me to engage in acts of chesed, acts of kindness. That's why I was placed here. But God's plan is far larger. At the well, Moshe himself is a lonely man of faith. You know, before Rabbi Salavitch speaks about the lonely man of faith, Moshe himself is a lonely man of faith, forced to flee, and he meets another lonely man of faith, someone who also, like Moshe, Yisroel is also someone, according to Chazal, who sacrificed power, prestige, and security for truth. Moshe does not merely rescue Yisroel's daughters, he finds a spiritual counterpart, and from this meeting emerges not just a marriage, but a partnership that will shape Jewish history. In other words, Moshe flees Egypt because of a moral awakening. At the burning bush, he will experience a religious awakening. And between those moments, we have Yisroel, a man who already walked both of these paths. And I think it's no coincidence. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates Moshe's exile, not only to refine his character through chesed, but to place him alongside someone else who embodies the courage to stand alone for the truth. And, you know, obviously, hopefully, his daughter presumably carries those same midos. And therefore, what emerges from this encounter at the well is not just a story of Moshe finding shelter or finding a spouse. It's the meeting of two people who chose conscience over comfort and paid the price for it. And I think that's a very powerful message about how we see in Moshe's story when he sees the hand of God places him. Oh, it's not just chesed. It's actually meeting another person. And then we'll get the final. Like, you know, sometimes you think you understand God's plan or you have some idea. This is why God brought me here. No, to meet this great man Yisro. No, it's to the burning bush and to eventually. But you have all these different stories building one on the other. And, you know, and we see that... We see how Chazal weave these stories from the text into the meeting of Moshe and Yisro as being two lonely men of faith.